The following content is not suitable for children.
Okay, G-Dog, we got a Q&A. And this guy is going to talk about, you know, his wife doesn't want to get blowjobs. And I want to help him and I want to help her. And then I really think we should also talk to men who don't want to go down on her.
All right.
Are you ready for this?
I can get my pen out and make sure I get some notes here.
Welcome to Foreplay Sex Therapy. I'm Dr. Lori Watson, your sex therapist.
And I'm George Fowler, your couples therapist.
We are here to talk about sex.
Our mission is to help couples talk about sex in ways that incorporate their body, their mind, and their hearts.
And we have a little bit of fun doing it, right, G?
Listen, and let's change some relationships.
This is the last chance, y'all, to sign up for our class, Unleash the Power of Sex in EFT for Therapists. We're doing this on January 19th and 20th.
Come on, therapists. This is the front line. This is how we help couples in the area they need it most. And most of us don't have the training we need. So every one of these trainings, we learn so much more. It feels like we're pushing the model of sex and emotions and attachment in a direction of more safety and security.
Yeah. And we want to help you feel proficient, feel at ease talking about it. We're going to go through anatomy and physiology, kind of talk about the basis for talking about the sexual cycle, how you do it, when you do it, going through EFT stages 1 and 2. It's going to be exciting. And it's going to be online, so you don't have to travel to do it. This is our winter class.
Be there, be square, people.
January 19th and 20th. Sign up on foreplaysextherapy.com.
No, I think this is, again, as people have good reasons they don't want to do things, but then they lose a tool that's pretty important, right?
Yeah.
And we don't even know why. I think that's half of the battle, right? We just know I don't like doing it, and we don't even talk about why. There's
right.
No exploration, so.
Yeah, and if we don't talk about why and what's actually happening for us, then there's no solution. Maybe, I think, a lot of people can work through these issues, and then their sexual repertoire can grow.
So can we start with that? It's okay to say no, you don't want to do something. But if you say no, you got to be a little open to explore why. Mm-hmm. You can't say no and just not talk about it. That's a deal break, right? There's no way of you're ever going to make progress on that topic.
Right. And this guy who wrote in, he's actually a longtime listener. And, you know, he was really hurt. You know, he didn't get the blowjob he was expecting. I think it was his birthday or something. Maybe it was Christmas. And didn't know why. He could feel the avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
And finally he asks his partner about it. And she sends this kind of really rejecting thing. I don't like you in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when your penis is very central to your being and your partner rejects that and says,
has its own name and everything.
Has its own name.
Yeah. You know? Hard to not take that personal.
The little guy has his own personality.
Little guy, a big guy, depends. It's probably called Big Petey, not Little Petey, but whatever works for you, Lori.
Okay. And we're having fun. And this was not fun for this couple.
No. We have to have fun because we're too serious around these conversations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is a big problem and it hurts. He's being rejected. There's no way around that. But we got to figure out what's going on. What makes her not want to please him and make him get more enjoyment out of sex and for her to get more enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people giving blowjobs who love giving blowjobs, right?
So that's right.
What's stopping that natural process from happening?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that, first of all, it was really brave of him to ask.
Yeah.
What is happening here? Like, instead of just feeling withdrawn and not saying anything about the clear absence of what he had expected.
Yep.
You know, he brings it up, and that's pretty darn brave.
It is. And it's also, though, Lori, it is also brave for her to say no.
It is also
brave.
If
she's going to do something that repulses her or makes it worse, that's going to train her body not to want to have sex. So she's putting up a boundary here saying, I don't like this, which is healthy.
Yeah.
We just need to know what's stopping it.
Yeah. And I do think it's brave of her. And I think that it shut them down, and they couldn't really go any further.
Couldn't repair it.
You know, and I think if, you know, like for some people, oral sex is kind of everything in their sexual life. And it's like if I'm with a partner who doesn't want to do that, and maybe they did do it before, you know, when we were early together or something, but suddenly that's not going to be happening, that could be, you know, bad news.
Bad news.
Yeah, it could feel like the relationship is over. Especially if I've committed to monogamy. It's like, yep. Ooh, okay.
And the rest of my life without a blowjob. Yeah. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, I know lots of people who have not had blowjobs. I just, woof, tough, really tough.
Well, again, my first question is, what is it that you don't like? Mm-hmm. Is it too big? Is it you can't breathe? Is it smell? Does it, your hair stuck in your teeth? Is like, what is it about the process that she, does it feel dirty? Does she feel ashamed? Does she,
Yeah. Does it feel denigrating?
Did she used to like it at one point and now doesn't like it? What has mm-hmm. changed?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I had my friend who tells this story. He's like, when I was dating before my wife, she was like super into it. Like she would make love to my penis. She would play with my balls. And like, he was like, it was just like, it was a spiritual experience for him. And he's like, now after all these years of marriage, she's like a deer in headlights. She just like holds it and kisses it every once in a while. She's looking for the kids. Maybe they're going to knock on a door or something. And she's like, not into it at all. And he's like, what the hell changed here? So... Maybe it's just those environmental things. It's the kids. It's the stress. What has changed that somebody that was so into it is now like, smacking it on her cheek, but that's about all she's doing.
But at least he has a sense of humor as he tells it.
He
right?
does. Yep.
And it sounds like he kind of stays green brain about this whole thing.
He's trying, right? And again, she can hear it and joke with it too. And it's, they're still having a conversation. I don't worry about couples who are having a conversation.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm worrying about the couples who are not talking about it.
Yeah, we're worried about this. But maybe we could go through a little bit about how to get through all those things you just said. Like maybe it is too big. I know a lot of women hold tension in their jaws and they have TMJ and they can't open their mouth very big. So they can't take the penis inside and they're like, oh, no. That it's going to choke them or it's going to hurt.
Well, would that be good to then just kiss the shaft and like do things that are lick it and play with it and do
head,
it right
something.
Do what you can do
right
is that good enough for your partner? They at least you're showing effort that you're trying, that this matters.
And I think for all we know, some men want that instead. Maybe the way she thought she had to do it wasn't the best for him anyway, but if they don't talk about it, they don't know.
Yep.
Maybe licking it like a lollipop is just what she wanted. Oh, just what he wanted.
Well,
what she wanted.
a few couples that when I've helped facilitate this conversation, I've been surprised, and I shouldn't be, but maybe this is my male privilege or something. But a lot of times the taste and the smell is bad, and guys just don't think about this. So taking a shower, manscaping, doing a little trimming, a little cleaning, like I might make it a little bit more appetizing.
tell your story about your underwear that you took off and it stunk. Tell that story. That was funny.
Yeah. So again, I normally didn't think about this thing. This is how I'm growing in this podcast.
Oh, thank
right?
God.
But I remember I had these like cool, I don't know, they were like nylon. I was playing pickleball in these underwear for a couple hours and got a good sweat going. And,
The pickle got sweaty.
I was not doing anything sexual. I was just changing it. I pulled off my underwears and I was like, holy what is that smell? I mean, there's some things going on there. So like,
Oof. That is just TMI. But I got to say, no, you are so vulnerable to say that. And I think so many men don't even think about it. I love that you noticed that and you thought about, nobody going to want to go down on that.
I got some Old Spice on that baby then.
Jumped in the shower, did you?
That's right.
Yeah, and I had a girlfriend who really smell was a big deal to her. And if he was fresh from a shower, she was all about it. I'm like, did you tell him that? She's like, no, because I think it's wrong. I should just like his smell no matter what. I'm like, oh, please just tell him that. I just don't think it's going to hurt his feelings. He did thank me later.
So we got smell, we got taste.
What can you do about taste? So sometimes, right, genitals do have a taste. There's like all kinds of things you can do about that. You can hold an Altoid. Do you know what that is? It's that really strong mint in your mouth. And you can't taste anything. And then maybe he kind of feels it like menthol, like it's cooler and you blow on it and he can feel that coolness. That's a good trick. Or there's like flavored lubricants so you can't taste anything. It makes your mouth have a lot of saliva, so it's really juicy.
Yep.
That's good.
All right.
Okay, what about hair in your mouth?
Dental floss, no. They can't buy multi-purpose here, no.
I heard a man say once he wanted a woman with hair long enough to floss.
Ooh.
I was like, wow. Ooh, okay.
Well, if you got hair long enough to floss down there, he thinks he might be in trouble.
No, he meant down there.
All right, well, that jungle might need a trim.
Exactly. Yeah, it depends on the man, right? All of these things depends on the woman. Maybe it doesn't bother. But if you have a hair in your mouth, you can stop and get it out. Mm-hmm. You can take a minute and just say, hold on just a second. Let me get rid of this hair. I mean, I think what happens is people get anxious, like, oh, I'm going to break the flow if I, you know, notice this. And it's like, it's okay. Just take a little moment, get it out of your mouth, keep going.
Yeah. I think the timing is important too. Mm-hmm. I think if you're feeling super disconnected from your partner, they can really feel objectified if you're just being asked to perform an act. It's disconnected from sex, you know, so I think taking that into consideration, is there something emotionally stopping you from wanting to? Mm-hmm. Does it feel wrong? Does it feel, you know, I shouldn't be doing this or is it sinful? I mean, there are always blocks to this process that we just want to bring it to the light to say, hey, what can we do? Can we make any adjustments with this?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who asked me about it and she said, I really thought only prostitutes did that. Mm. So when my husband wanted me to do it, I just felt so dirty, so used. And, you know, I think she did eventually work it through, but that was her early upbringing.
Sure.
You know, that was what she thought of it. She didn't really think of it when she thought about having sex as part of a sexual act that a couple did. So she had to kind of grow and think about it and hear from others. Fortunately, I had a lot of girlfriends who talked about it.
Nice.
Growing up, I was blessed. Yeah, I was very blessed. Still talk about it. Same group. Hello out there.
Well, what would be different when you're dating and you're trying to kind of get this person to love you and you're more enthusiastic and mm-hmm. you're more sexual and you have more desire you're tapping into, and it's more fun when your body's in that freed up place.
I know.
Right?
I know.
If you're doing it 20 years later and you're not really turned on and you're tired at night, maybe it's good to say no and to find a better time when you're on vacation or, you know, you're more into it where it can be more special. So instead of saying no, maybe it's no most of the time except special occasions like your birthday.
And maybe for some people, they could live with that, right?
Yeah.
And that would be okay. Just knowing that it is coming, that there's going to be a joyful time, and she's not going to do it out of duty, and it's not going to suck is what I wanted to say. But then I realized we're talking about blowjobs, so maybe we need it to suck. I'm sorry, you guys. That's my brain.
It might be good motivation to have, you know, the guy talk about what it means to him. Because it might be more than just the orgasm, right? There might be something that's different about a blowjob, how it feels, you know. You don't have to focus on performance or anything else. Yeah. It's like a moment of surrender or relaxing. It's,
and all the attention
All the attention's on you.
You don't have to do anything.
Men are so performance focused, and they always have that lingering in the background that it's nice to not have that for a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, let's come back and talk about how do we help the guy who didn't want to go down. Imagine this winter sitting by the fire in the coziest, softest pajamas you have ever felt, or slipping into bed on a cold winter's night with just that silky, satiny feel against your skin. Cozy Earth has the softest products you will have ever felt. They are made from responsibly sourced bamboo, and all the products come with a 10-year warranty. It's basically temperature regulating, so you can get in bed. Maybe you need to be warm and your partner needs to be cool. These are perfect sheets for that, and I love them. I now have them in terracotta and in white. I have them in different colors. I can change my bedroom with the season. Really, Cozy Earth make me feel like I am in luxury every single day. I invite you to go to CozyEarth.com and look at all that they provide with an exclusive offer for our listeners at 35% off site-wide when you use the code 4PLAY. Please use the code 4PLAY at CozyEarth.com and look at all that they have to offer. It is a beautiful product, my favorite winter gift. We have new partners every plate. If you're looking to budget your food expenses in the new year, save big and eat great with America's Best Value Meals Kit. Their meals are cheaper than your average fast casual meal, so ditch the takeout. Especially now while we're all trying to eat healthy, save money while you're enjoying fresh, satisfying meals. It is easy to eat affordably. Put the money you save towards your 2024 plans. If you're making resolutions, get every plate. Stop going to the grocery store and taking so much time with meal prep. Save more time with these quick and easy recipes. Again, we have a new partnership with Every Plate. Get a meal for $1.49 plus $1 steaks for life by going to everyplate.com/podcast and enter the code 494PLATE. Subscriptions must be active to qualify for and redeem the $1 steak. That's everyplate.com/podcast 494PLATE. Uberlube. It's a luxury lubricant. Can you say that three times fast? Uberlube luxury lubricant. You know, basically, it's pure silicone bliss. It is made from superior ingredients. It has skin-soothing vitamin E, and it goes on just like natural moisture, and it lasts a long time. There's no drip. Their glass bottles are truly beautiful. You can leave them on your bedstand. I do. No problem. Nobody notices. And it's basically like this thin, slippery silicone formulation. It reduces friction, which is great, but it doesn't reduce sensation, and it stays slippery long enough for lasting pleasure. They have travel-friendly, toughened glass bottles. You can slip it in your gym bag. You can slip it in your purse. You can be ready whenever. Try Uberlube, the silicone lubricant, at uberlube.com. Use the code 4PLAY for 10% off. Really, it is the best lubricant on the market.
We're reversing roles now. Here we go. What about for all those men out there? For whatever their good reasons, they're the ones who say no. I don't like going down on you. You know?
Painful.
Can I give you this vibrator and call it?
Yeah. Call it quits?
Call it quits?
That'd be calling it quits. No, I hear this, right? I remember the first time as a sex therapist, I heard a man say to his wife, you know, I'm sorry, I don't like the way you taste. I was like, in her place, I was like dagger in my heart. I was like, oh, I really wish you had said it differently. I really wish you had not just said that right now. I mean, that is just so painful.
At least he put it on the table, though.
I know. And you're all about us putting the hard things on the table.
We can deal with it then.
So to speak.
You know, how many men just don't go down there because of that, but they don't want to hurt their partner's feelings, so they come up with some other kind of reason in.
Yeah. Or they just do something else.
But is there something you can do for taste?
Yeah, there are things you can do for taste. I mean, we just talked about showers, right?
No.
You know, certainly a shower would be helpful. Good hygiene to begin. But I mean, I think sometimes, yeah, there is, you know, I've heard that papayas and avocados make you taste sweeter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I have not factually researched that, but that's what I hear. I had a lesbian friend tell me that.
Yeah. I thought you're putting some avocado down there. I was like, oh, that's mixing things up a little bit.
Like a little salad down there.
A little salad, a little tacos.
Olive oil.
Well,
yeah.
I think it also, how does the woman communicate? I mean, so many women, it's the primary way of orgasm, right, is through clitoral stimulation. And I think it's important, too, like we were doing before with a guy, like what does it represent for the woman? How important? Sometimes we got to give that information. A lot of times men don't understand. This is the primary way a lot of women orgasm.
Yeah.
Clitoral oral stimulation. Like, it's so important if they're going to get engaged and get turned on. Like this is road number one. And if you're saying no to this.
Yeah. Yeah. What, you know, if that's the way you come.
Yeah.
It's like, and he didn't want to do that. Woo, you are kind of dead in the water. You know, and I can imagine that would build resentment and all kinds of things. But maybe, again, it could be her hair, or it could be her taste or her smell or something that he just can't tolerate. Or maybe he feels like doing that is being submissive and being less than a man. You know, men don't maybe do that.
That could be the emotional stuff blocking it.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice to a man who's saying, I don't like doing this? What did you say?
Yeah. So, I mean, after I got over the stab in my heart for her,
yeah,
you know, I asked him to explain what was it about it. And for him, it was like he grew up in a culture that said, you know, if I do that to a woman, then I'm somehow or another not macho. I'm not a real man,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm doing something for her that I shouldn't have to do. That mm-hmm. really, you know, my dick should be enough. And if I have to do this, I'm not good enough, and she shouldn't need this. I mean, it was convoluted.
Well, I think a lot of men, and this is why that statistic that 80% of women don't orgasm during intercourse. Like, when men right. hear that, it's like, oh, shit, I got to figure out, you know, other ways because I want my partner. Most men want their partner to orgasm. It's really important.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're in this belief that you should orgasm this way through intercourse, then I'm just going to try harder at intercourse, and, you know, we lose this beautiful opportunity.
Yeah. And I think, too, that men sometimes don't get enough feedback about it, so they kind of come up with, it doesn't work, I'm failing, and then they don't want to try it again.
Yeah.
You know, they try it, or they think it does work, maybe it's worked on another partner, and they try too early, and she's not really ready for it, so she pushes them away, but she really needs it, and they don't talk about that, or... Yeah. Or she just lays there and lets him do it forever, and he's like, okay, this is a lot of fun. This is yeah. He doesn't get any feedback, right?
There's no success for it.
Yeah, no success. Exactly. Yeah. No feedback.
It's like, I just went down there for 20 minutes and, you know, the needle didn't move at all. I mean, I could have been, you know, and if the guy's not engaged and he's starting to go over, you know, the bills in his head and, you know.
I think she can feel that.
Yeah.
Just like a man could feel that.
I don't know. You think so? I would give it a try. I mean, I'd rather have the taxes being done than nothing at all, that's for sure. So,
that's what
so what does it feel
the
like?
The difference between a good blowjob and a bad blowjob is not very much, right? As long as it's happening.
Well, that's unfortunately a lot of
But for a woman, I can say there is a difference.
All right, tell us the difference.
Yeah, the difference is sort of him knowing where he is. That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his tongue could be in the wrong place. It might not be on her clitoris. You know, I remember this one couple. He's like, yeah, you know, when I go down on her, I put my tongue right where it matters, in her vagina. And I'm like, ooh.
You're 2 inches off the mark, dude. What are you doing?
What are you doing? And why didn't she ever say anything? You know, that was kind of curious.
Yeah, well, how would a guy know when you don't have a clitoris?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I think
it's like a teeny tiny penis. That's what it's like. It's like a teeny tiny penis that's more sensitive.
Well, I like that you're trying to make explicit. What's blocking him? Is it something physical, smell, yeah. taste? Is it something emotional? He's failing. Is it something he just doesn't know what to do? It's a sense of helplessness. He feels like, you know, not skilled in that area. Yeah. He wants to avoid that. I mean, there could be a lot of factors that are stopping this natural process.
Yeah.
Any others you got?
I think that's good. I think we just addressed most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I do think, I guess my hope as a sex therapist, what I've seen is 99% of the time it's workable. They can work it through to have some form of oral sex that is satisfying.
Well, let's repeat that. That's worth
saying. Yeah, it's workable. Blowjobs and her getting cunnilingus, which is George's favorite word.
Oh, boy.
Is like...
You wonder why some men don't want to do it. Change the damn name.
They can't say it.
Yeah.
Okay. But both of those things, we can work it out. You know, you can figure it out together so that you can have some of this.
Yeah, as long as you're able to talk about it. We always fall back to communication is the most important factor.
Right.
Right? You're not doing your partner any service by not talking about this, by just keeping it to yourself.
Right.
Right? There's a good reason you want to or don't want to.
Yeah.
And both people need to speak their piece.
And when I think about this listener who was brave enough to write to us, and, you know, what happened, I think, is they got shut down. It became dire. You know, am I going to even be able to last in this marriage? does my partner love me? And that sense of fear that we talk about emotionally just shut him down. He couldn't even keep talking about it.
Yep.
You know, and she couldn't talk about it because I think she knew it was important. She felt like, oh my God, I am failing him. You know, I did do it before. I mean, they were just in lockdown and shutdown, and they were kind of in a relatively early marriage. And yeah. I think when you hit that kind of a roadblock in an early marriage, which is the first time you might have really hit a bad roadblock, it's really natural to think, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah. We all catastrophize when, you know, it's not just the no in that moment. It's we globalize that no, this will be our life. And we have these big responses to that, right? And, some of the research says even couples that get divorced, you know, if half of them would have just stayed together and rode through that wave, they would have been fine 6 months later.
I know.
Right? But it's in this moment when you're drowning that you make decisions that wind up putting too much factor towards this, you know, this one element.
Yeah. I have some friends who talked about divorce about 20 years ago.
Right.
And I still know them, you know, and they're happy now. They're very happy now. And, you know, they stayed together, which was a model for their children. They're enjoying retirement. I mean, it's different. And sometimes some stages of life are rougher. And I think some stages of a sex life are rougher. And early sex, there's a lot to learn. I just want to normalize that we all have to work on sex.
We all have these periods.
Yeah.
And to also normalize the pain of, you know, we live in a sex-saturated culture.
Yeah.
When you're not getting it and everywhere you're around you, everyone seems to be getting it. And you're like, I could be getting it in all these other places and I'm not here. It's that much harder to come home and have it in your face that you're not getting it. So I get his turmoil and that he's addressing that and he's saying, hey, listen, we need to deal with this. That's the healthiest thing you could do.
Yeah.
Right? Give her the space or vice versa. And there's lots of iterations of this, right? There are a lot of women who their partner wants to go down on them and they don't want it.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
and it's the flip the other way. There's women who want to go down on them, their partners, and the men don't want it.
And believe it or not, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times. What's that about?
Yeah. Right? And a lot of men who say, you know, I want her to go down on me, but I don't come that way. So I don't want to let her because I don't come that way anyway. And so I'm afraid I'll disappoint her. It's like, dude, let her do that. Oh, it's
people
okay.
also
it's
have a lot
of sex.
There are a lot of body image issues in this. You know, I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way, you know, so all of that stuff complicates, you know, these signals.
I'm ugly
that
down there. I'm not big enough down there. I'm too big. That's really the big one with blowjobs. I'm too big. Yeah.
I had a guy who talked about his balls were too big compared to his penis. So when she would go down there, he would just think about that the whole time, you know, and be like, oh, then he would lose his erection and he'd be like, I don't like blowjobs. Well, yeah, I wouldn't like it under those circumstances either.
Yeah.
So if we could listen to those emotions, it's kind of telling us he needs some reassurance. It'll probably make the process easier for him.
And we facilitate these conversations with couples. So we know it's possible. We know you can talk about it. It's hard.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to talk about, but I think, you know, maybe you write it down, you both come to the table, let's see if we can work this out. Is there any, you know, way?
That's also really good advice, Lori. For a lot of couples, if it's just too big to start the conversation, sometimes just writing an email or a letter that starts it and says, hey, I want to talk. This is too hard to talk about, but here's some of my issues.
Right.
And you just, you open the door.
Right.
The hardest step is that first step. I have no problem with couples who will start this conversation. Like you said, 99% of them are going to find some kind of better move than what they currently have.
Right. And that's the first goal. And it might be enough.
Yeah.
You know, it might be just satisfying enough to find that next level if they can.
And partners deserve to be recognized when they're hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And if we don't share, we're never going to get that either.
Yeah. So we want to say to you, dear listener, you know, keep the faith. You know, we believe that you can have this conversation. I think maybe now is the time to get therapy. Certainly look up an EFT therapist, somebody who can help you talk about the emotions from both sides.
Yeah.
It's difficult, but, you know, maybe now is the time to reach out. And maybe you approach your wife and say, look, I know we're stuck here. And you know, I feel so stuck. I know you feel so stuck. I'm not dragging you to therapy so that you will do it. I'm dragging you to therapy so that I can understand it. Maybe if I can understand it, I can get over my need. Maybe you can understand me and you can come my way. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. And if both partners can protect each other in this conversation. You know, he has good reasons he wants it, and he's hurt that he's not getting it. She has good reasons she don't want to do it. And they start off respecting that in each other and try to protect each other. She's feeling, she's getting the message she's failing. He's getting the message of rejection. We work with this all the time in cycles. Yeah. This is just another topic that brings up the same cycle.
Yeah.
Right? We know how to help couples repair this. It's not a mystery. Attachment science can kind of solve this issue. You just got to take that first step. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Keep it hot.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, so tell us about your cutting-edge training that you're doing on success and vulnerability.
Lori, we just keep pushing it. Coming up with a new module on the playbook of a pursuer, playbook of a withdrawer, really practical moment-by-moment moves of what a therapist can use. You know, we're so focused on what's happening in session. Enough of this talk about theories and these global things. I think most therapists are looking for, what do I do in this moment? Give me a tool, George. So that's what we're trying to do.
That's awesome. I am so glad you guys are doing this work. I think it helps us be organized to see you do it. You do demos, you do explanations, teaching. It really is interactive. And I think that so many trainings that we sit through don't give us an opportunity for that. So what you're doing is really important.
No, we try to emphasize the teach it, show it, do it model of learning. You need to have some ideas, so we try to teach those. And then we try to show what it looks like implementing those ideas. But most importantly, you now got to practice it. That's how they become yours. And that's what we want our listeners and watchers to do, is become their own moves.
Find George and his teaching at successandvulnerability.com.
Call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833-MY, the number 4PLAY. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes. All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor. This podcast is copyrighted by 4Play Media.
Rana Glickman here.
Brian Soppy here.
The co-hosts of Ask Rana with Rana and Brian.
There's only two of us, but I get third billing.
Our Fabulous Advice podcast comes out every Tuesday. We answer all kinds of pressing questions like,
what do you do when your boyfriend's mother is poisoning you? Mm. Or when you get an Airbnb host who dies? We have fabulous guests like Conan O'Brien,
Lamorne Morris,
Nick Kroll,
Hannah Einbinder.
Listen to Ask Rana on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.